Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the
establishing contact.
Welcome to this Sportsology special event. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Drew Pearson, NFL legend, sportscaster. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Russ. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I want to let people know right off the top that you're going to be playing in the Reebok 2010 Heroes Celebrity Baseball Game Saturday, June 26th at 6 p.m. in Frisco, Texas. I understand you played last year. Now, you're a pretty great athlete in a lot of different sports, but I didn't know you played baseball.
Yeah, I'm a baseball player. As a matter of fact, as a kid growing up, Russ, I played more baseball than anything. I really loved the game. It was a game that I played even when my mother told me not to play, and that's when she figured out I really must love the game, because she used to give me whoopings because I would sneak off and go play and come back and take that whooping and go play again. So she must have figured I really loved it. But I actually signed with the University of Tulsa. I chose the University of Tulsa over the University of Nebraska because Tulsa was going to let me play baseball. And I went there mainly to be a baseball player,
That was the reason. That's amazing. And I saw that you grew up in New Jersey. I'm actually out of Glassboro, New Jersey, and right now. And and that's kind of interesting, because I didn't realize you were from that area. But so you chose Tulsa to play two sports, but you ended up – did you end up playing two sports for a little while, or did that end pretty quick?
It ended pretty quickly because when I got to Tulsa, I was a quarterback in high school, so – I had a chance to start a quarterback my freshman year on the freshman team. Freshmen couldn't play varsity at that time. So I was not only the starting quarterback, but I was captain as well and had a good season. And at the end of the season, the head coach came up to me and said, "Hey, man, you got a chance to start at quarterback as a sophomore on the varsity next season, but we need you to make that commitment to football to do that and go through spring practice and all that." So it was a decision that had to be made, talking with my mother and father and some other family, friends, and those that kind of thing. I decided to put all the eggs in one basket, and that basket would be football.
Now, did you precede Joe Theismann as the quarterback of that school?
Yeah, at South River High School in South River, New Jersey. Joey and I played together in high school. He was a senior, and I was a sophomore, so he was a couple years ahead of me.
He's a couple of
But we were together for that 1 year on the football, basketball, and baseball teams. And football, of course, he was a quarterback, and I backed him up at quarterback and started at wide receiver and safety on defense. And then in baseball, he was shortstop, and I was the second baseman. And in basketball, we were the backcourt. And we used to call him the Black Hulk, because every time we gave him the ball, we never saw it back. He was the best high school player I ever played with or against, Russ, and he'd be the first to tell you that, Joey.
That's pretty funny. That's amazing, though, that school really produced some great athletes and that you guys were both there at the same time and both ended up playing against each other in the NFL, and that's something that probably you couldn't have predicted back then.
Oh, no way, but South River had a rich tradition of high school football, and it extended back into the 50s where a guy named Alex Wojciechowicz, you call him Alex Wojo, he went to Fordham. He played with Vince Lombardi. He was one of those seven blocks of granite, and he went on to have an NFL career with the New York Giants as a center, number 50, and he is a member of the NFL Hall of Fame from South River, New Jersey. And also we have a guy named Kenny Jackson who played a quarterback a few years after me and broke all my records at South River High School and ended up playing wide receiver at Penn State, becoming the number one draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles and playing, having a nice career, 5, 6, 7, 8 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. So Kenny Jackson. We always used to say there's something in the water there in South River, New Jersey.
No, that's pretty good. I mean, that's really an amazing thing. So when you get out there and play baseball like you are going to do at this event, what position do you play?
Well, last year I played third base, and I just kind of settled in there. I kind of alternated with Darryl the Moose Johnson on third base. But This year, I think I'm going to take over and be a little more forceful and demand to play shortstop, which is a position I think I could play at my age, even though my arm might not be as strong as it used to be. That quick release of getting the ball out of my glove and that throwing motion is still there. So I'm going to try to campaign and see if I can get that shortstop position for this game.
See, and that's a good thing. I've been playing softball, geez, for over 20 years, and my arm's not what it used to be either, so I play third because on the softball field, it's certainly not as far as baseball field. But shortstop, you got to make that throw in the hole. Now, I guess the quick release will even it out for you.
Yeah, and, you know, the anticipation, too, that's still there, you know, getting to the ball quickly. You know, I still feel like I have some of those kind of instincts, so that'll help as well. But the problem was going to be, Russ, you know, getting to those balls in the hole.
Yeah.
You got to try to make like you're getting a big effort, but you know you're not going to get there.
Yep. I totally understand that. Believe me, there's plenty of them that I wave at now. So I totally know. I know what you mean. Now, some other guys that are playing in this game, and they're really some great names. Mike Modano from the Dallas Stars, who is just a tremendous player. DeMarcus Ware, Brady James, Jason Kidd, Mark Cuban, Brett Hull, Mike Hamlin, Warren Sapp, like you said, Moose Johnson, yourself, Donald Faulson, Kid Craddock, Brian Greenberg, Jeff Stoltz, Roberto Marroquin, and Ben Grieve. So a little bit of mixture of baseball, football, Hollywood, and I see Greg Swindell. I remember him as a pitcher, too. So a lot of different guys.
Yeah, a lot of different versatility there, guys from different backgrounds and stuff. And what was so cool about it last year is how everybody just blended together. You know, everybody just had a great time. Some of my best conversations I had in the locker room and sitting in a dugout with Marty Turco and Brendan Morrow from the Dallas Stars. And
yep.
They played last year. And, of course, this year I found out that Brett Hull is on my team, so I'll be wearing him out. Warren Sapp, seeing him for the first time, and didn't realize he was as tall as he was. I always thought he was just one of them short, fat guys. But he was a lot taller, a couple of inches taller than me. And I asked him last year, I said, what are you doing in Dallas, man? I said, you ain't no Cowboys fan. He said, oh, man, you don't know, Drew. I grew up watching the Dallas Cowboys. You were one of my favorites. You used to have that hair coming out the back of your helmet and everything. So, you know, you have that kind of fellowship and that kind of dialogue going on, and it makes it a lot of fun for the athletes, the celebrities, and we really enjoy being there. And then we get to do that and have that kind of fun, and it all supports two tremendous causes. Of course, the Heroes Foundation, which is a nonprofit initiative providing stuff for inner-city kids and giving them the opportunity to compete and participate in team baseball, basketball, and other educational curriculums and things like that. And then, of course, the Mike Modano Foundation, and that's dedicated to raising funds to improve the lives of at-risk and underserved children in the Dallas area. And Mike and that foundation has been very prevalent in the Dallas area for a number of years. Of course, he's played about 20 years of hockey, and most of that's been in Dallas. So his foundation has been benefiting the inner-city youth for quite some time now. So they're two great causes to have, the kind of fellowship we can have, the fun, the fan participation that we do have with these games, and then do it all for two great causes. Makes it all worthwhile for sure.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm a hockey writer by trade, so I've done radio with Turco. We did a whole season with him, and he's a real personable guy. But I'm going to warn you, if you sit next to Brett Hull, he's going to talk your ear off, just so you know.
Yeah, he's a talker, huh?
He's a big-time talker, and just let me tell you right away, that's the way he is. He's a great guy, but he will talk. So if he doesn't get you off your game, then it's fine. So that's, you know, just a word of advice. But, Drew, I'm going to take you back in the 80s, and I want to say it was mid to late 80s. I actually played a game, a flag football game, for a company called NeoStar. It was a video game company at Texas Stadium, when Texas Stadium was still around, and we had two coaches. You were a coach, and the late, great Harvey Martin was a coach, and we actually got to play a flag football game, and you were my coach, and our team won, and I have to tell you, I've told people about it over the years, that, A, you were a terrific coach, but you were a really nice guy, and you left me in the whole game. I don't even think you took me out. I was playing defensive end, and I didn't even want to play defensive end. I wanted to play linebacker, but I was kind of bullied into it, and it was a fun day.
Oh, that's good. Well, you're not mad at me for leaving you in, right? You didn't.
No, that was great.
Did you? Oh, okay.
No, that was great.
I was wondering, but no, I remember that we had a great time, and you know, I don't remember the specifics of it like you might. You know, you probably remember every play and everything.
Yeah.
But being a fan and being out there and being in Texas Stadium and all that sure was a big thrill, but. No, I don't remember the details of it, but I do remember the event and the great time we had. And, yeah, you were a good player, man. You're very coachable. I like your style. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, how mixed feelings did you have with Texas Stadium going away? Because I was amazed at the place. I remember when we went in there, it was at the time that Dallas just picked up Deion Sanders, so we toured the locker room. We got to see Deion's locker, and that was great. And he actually was at our hotel, so, of course, he was everywhere. I was just taken aback, I guess, by a couple things. First one was how hard that surface is. And you don't realize it until after the game. And all of a sudden, like after the game, like basically where your foot and your ankles meet, I had total pain for about a day from all the running. And then you don't realize how tired you are at the end of the game. And you had to sort of walk uphill to get to the locker. And I was like, geez, how do these guys do that?
Yeah. First of all, the surface was very hard. And they hadn't developed the AstroTurf to the point where it gave like it does nowadays. And, of course, they took years and years of research to perfect it like that. But at that point, it was very hard. And our field was on such a crown because of drainage. It was one of the first stadiums ever constructed solely for football. So in doing that, you didn't have to worry about the flat surface to play baseball on. So in doing that, to help the drainage of the stadium, they built a high crown in the top so the water would run off, of course, to the sides. And that crown was very prevalent, and it affected a lot of players as far as lining up on the outside as a wide receiver and running an in route and having to go up that hill. But, of course, Texas Stadium, you know, it gets very hot in there. And Coach Landry was part of the reason why the tunnel, once you left the field, you had to go up, because he wanted you to feel spent going up that hill. When you got in the locker room, he wanted you to be tired. And if your play on the field didn't do it, that little walk up that tunnel should finish you off. But also, the main purpose of that tunnel and the incline was when we came out of the locker room to go on the field to open the game, we were going downhill.
Right.
We had momentum going, and that's why that ramp was so prevalent. That slant on that ramp was so prevalent, and you really noticed it on the way in, especially after a game.
Well, I noticed it, and I, you know, because I wasn't used to that kind of activity, even playing flag football, and I just remember that, and I just thought that, wow, why would you want it that way? But now it makes sense. So I appreciate that. One other thing I want to ask you about, I noticed that you played basketball with Marcus Haynes on the Harlem Magicians, and I remember my dad pointed out Marcus Haynes to me when I was a kid, basically with the Globetrotters, and just what a great basketball player he was, and you married his daughter, and you played on the Harlem Magicians. I had no idea, and it just goes to show what a great athlete you were, that you even were terrific at basketball.
Yeah, I was a good basketball player as well, and you know, just an all-around athlete. And that's kind of what you did back in the day, Russ. You know, you weren't directing your kids into one sport and putting all your eggs in one basket and hope he develops in there. When, as kids, because the sports didn't overlap like they do now, we were able to play all sports. So you had a chance to develop all your skills, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball. So I was able to do that. And fortunately and unfortunately, Marcus Haynes, being my father-in-law, I got to be around the Harlem Magicians. He had left the Harlem Globetrotters and formed his own team, the Magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be around him quite a bit. And then we had a strike in 1982 where we went on a work stoppage during the middle of the season. And back then, we weren't making enough money. So if we got stopped and our checks weren't coming in, that really affected us. So
sure.
Marcus offered Tony Hill, Ron Springs, and myself the opportunity to play with him and go on the road with him with the Harlem Magicians. And we were like all too in awe of everything. So we got to play a road schedule with the Harlem Magicians while we were on strike with the NFL. So So it was pretty cool. But he's a great man. He's an NBA Hall of Famer. When I got inducted into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame a couple of years ago, there was no question the man that was going to present me and induct me was Marcus Haynes, and what a thrill that was.
Sure. Yeah, that's just tremendous. Well, again, the cause that we're talking about here is the 2010 Reebok Hero Celebrity Game. It's in Frisco, Texas, June 26th, Dr. Pepper Ballpark, 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. And Drew, did you get any hits last year, and what's your prediction for this year?
Well, actually, I didn't get any hits, but I came in second in a home run derby. Warren Sapp actually beat me out. But I was hanging in there for a while, but I think I got tired there, Russ. My swings and my bats got weak as we got closer to the finals. But anyway, my prediction is our team will win. I believe we're the red team. And I don't know if we won last year or not, but let's just say we did.
Sounds good, Drew.
I don't think there's any stats on it, but let's just say we won, okay?
No, I don't think anybody's going to question you on it, and you always have that winning attitude, and that's what everybody loves about you. And again, go check out the event. Drew Pearson, thanks very much for coming on.
All right, Russ, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.